This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson and Nick Whalen here from rotowire.com. We are going to be having a fun show today. A little LeBron James hijinks, maybe, happening with the Miami Heat. RotoWire's Theo Greminger is going to make his Prop Points debut. He joined us on July 1st. He's now going to join us on the show. Looking forward to having him on. Some of his top wide receiver plays. We'll talk a little bit about just some of his picks and pans as well. Ryan Spielberg is going to join us to talk baseball, maybe a little bit of a Rockies focus. We'll talk a little trade deadline with him. Then we have our picks and props. As always, thank you for those of us watching live on YouTube TV. Make sure to download the Prop Points podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Got one live game about to start. Yankees and the Pirates make up from yesterday's rainout. We got Mitch Keller versus Garrett Cole in that one. Will Warren was going to pitch yesterday. He's got pushed back to Friday. Max Fried coming off the IL for the nightcap tonight as well. Nick, in basketball, we had a little bit of pump fake by the Miami Heat who accidentally released something on social media, and now we're trying to walk it back a little bit.
Look, Jeff, I don't really know exactly how to frame this. It could very well have been an innocent mistake by the Miami Heat YouTube management team. But, you know, long story short, there was a link posted to a scheduled live stream for, I think, this weekend, which would have been, you know, LeBron James' introductory press conference. So, of course, people saw this on YouTube. It was quickly hidden or taken down, but the damage had already been done. It's entirely possible that maybe LeBron knows he's going to the Heat. Maybe he's informed the Miami Heat of his decision and they are preparing for this. I will tell you that's how the prediction markets, or at least the volume on the prediction markets, have reacted so far. But it's also entirely possible that they're just preparing for the possibility of LeBron James joining them. So I don't really know exactly how to read this. You know, I posted something earlier today on Twitter that you could go check out, which is basically a progressive bar graph of how the probabilities at Kalshi have changed over the last 3 weeks. You know, there was a time when the Warriors were fairly heavy favorites. There was a, you know, 2 week stretch where the Cavaliers were viewed as the clear favorite. And now, you know, with this news, Miami has moved to 48-49% at Kalshi for LeBron's next team. The Heat are currently minus 200 at the DraftKings Sportsbook to get their hands on LeBron James. But again, Jeff, if we had talked about this time last week, I would have said, yeah, it really feels like it's the Cavaliers. Everybody's saying Cleveland. There's been some momentum there. But, I mean, this has just been a roller coaster. And, you know, if you are participating in the nearly $200 million of volume on Kalshi in the LeBron next team market, I wish you the best of luck. This is not something I would recommend necessarily diving in on unless you have any insider info. But in classic LeBron James fashion, Jeff, it's been a saga, and we still don't know exactly when it's going to end.
No, absolutely not. It tends to drag on a lot longer than we think, and sometimes we get these little pump fakes as well. The Heat, their win total over at the DraftKings Sportsbook is at 46.5. You look at their roster right now. You know, it's obviously Giannis. You got Bam. You have Bobby Portis, Davion Mitchell, Tim Hardaway, Andrew Wiggins. It needs more. It needs a lot more here. How much would LeBron move the needle for you?
I think LeBron would move the needle, whether it's Miami or Cleveland or any of these other teams. I think he would move the needle more than most people seem to be giving him credit for. I know he's going to be 42 in December. But, you know, we saw, especially in that playoff series without Luka Doncic against the Houston Rockets, I mean, LeBron is still capable of being a 27-7-7 type of guy when he needs to be. Now, the big question for me is not necessarily, you know, can LeBron still have that same level of impact? You know, he's not the player that he was 5-10 years ago, of course. It's, is LeBron going to be willing to fit into the system of whatever team he joins? You know, let's say it's Cleveland. Right. Is he going to be willing to adjust his game to defer to Donovan Mitchell, who's probably a better player than LeBron at this point in his career? You have another very ball dominant guard on that roster as of now in James Harden. And I think you could ask that same question about Miami. You know, Giannis is clearly a better player at this point than LeBron is. Bam, you know, kind of in that conversation. But, you know, even in his advanced age, Jeff, you know, LeBron has talked for years about, you know, it'd be great to be able to kind of take a step back and, you know, kind of play this jack of all trades role. He still wants to dominate the ball deep down. You know, when LeBron is on your team, you still have to play LeBron ball. And even at age 42, I don't think that's going to change. So that's almost the bigger question to me. Like, as a player, we know LeBron can do everything. He's the ultimate Swiss Army knife. But is he going to be willing to fully buy into that especially if he's joining a Heat team where, you know, Bam Adebayo and Giannis, these guys are in their prime, right? You know, Bam is probably in the beginning to mid portion of his prime. Giannis maybe closer to the end of those prime years. But is LeBron really going to be willing to step in and say, I'll be the facilitator, I'll be the third option on a lot of nights? He said he was willing to do that in LA, but I think part of the reason that he's leaving the Lakers is he didn't necessarily like how he fit alongside Luka Doncic.
What else do the Heat need to add? I mean, they do have a couple shooters. You know, we mentioned Hardaway, we mentioned Wiggins, both of those guys averaging more than two three-pointers per game, shooting three, both shot over 40% from three last year. Is that enough? Do they need another shooter? Do they need another guard? What else do they need to bring in here?
I think they need just about everything, to be honest. You know, if you're theoretically putting LeBron on this roster, that, you know, that kind of gives you like a backup point guard in some ways. It, you know, gives you more depth at the three and the four. He could play both of those spots. But, you know, Wiggins, Giannis, and Adebayo are probably the three best players on this team right now. So I guess you could slide Andrew Wiggins down to the two. Maybe LeBron plays the nominal three, and then you have Giannis and Bam up front. But there's not a lot of depth on this roster right now. So LeBron alone, assuming he stays relatively healthy, does solve multiple problems because he can even play small ball five. And again, he's maybe the best backup point guard in the NBA. But, you know, there's still not a ton of shooting on this team. As of right now, the backup shooting guard for the Miami Heat is Ryan Conwell. I got to be honest, I don't know a ton about Ryan Conwell, but I think there are free agents out there. I think there are potential, you know, kind of lower level trades that can and will be made if LeBron does join the Miami Heat. I think the entire league in some ways is kind of waiting on this domino to fall before we see another series of moves. So Miami's been through this before, right? When LeBron and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade in 2010, they had to retool that entire roster. And, you know, they did to some degree, but there are going to be holes. Like, that's what, when you build a roster like this in this fashion, you're not going to come out with a perfect depth chart of eight or nine deep that you feel great about. You know, Eric Dampier, Mike Bibby, Carlos Arroyo were playing huge minutes for that 2010 Heat team.
Indeed, indeed. We're going to talk a little baseball, but first, want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line, and that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport, every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now. Use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com, promo code VSIN.
Jeff, we had a busy Tuesday in Major League Baseball, and a busy Wednesday coming our way. As you mentioned, should be underway between the Pirates and the Yankees, our first game of the day in just a moment. Handful of other day games on the slate, including a 12:35 Central start between the O's and the Red Sox. We had a rainout last night, which put the Red Sox bid to win their 15th straight game on hold. So doubleheader coming today in the AL East. This Red Sox team, man, we've talked about it. Obviously, it's been an incredible turnaround, an incredible streak, you know, winning all these games without so many key players, including Garrett Crochet and Roman Anthony. But when you start to look at the American League as a whole, obviously, you know, with how the Red Sox have played over the last month, you'd feel good about them holding on to a wild card spot. But even with this 14 game winning streak, Jeff, they're still occupying the third wild card spot in the AL. Seattle's just a game and a half back. You got teams like Baltimore, Minnesota, Houston, even Detroit still very much in the mix. As you scroll down that list, you look at these teams on the outside looking in to that final wild card spot. Is there a team below Boston that you could see pushing its way into the mix?
I mean, Seattle Mariners are the obvious answer. Currently not the leader in the AL West. 51-51, lost last night to the Reds, but they have that pitching staff. They have one of the best pitching prospects in baseball, and Cade Anderson still waiting to get the call. They got to figure out, they have six starters right now without Anderson. So Anderson could get that David Price-like call up there where he's like a super reliever out of the bullpen. Maybe he could start, you know, spot start, but he could also just wipe out batters for 2 to 3 innings in relief. I think that would be ideal for the Mariners. It's their hitting, though, that needs to step up. Only 412 runs scored so far this season. That is where they really need to step up. Cal Raleigh's had a terrible season. Had that grand slam on Monday night. Maybe that would fire him up a little bit more. Maybe get him going, get his confidence going. Something to get going there for him. But they strike me as an obvious team that could be a threat. The Houston Astros, same division. I wouldn't count them out. The pitching's still highly questionable, but you got the Triple Crown leader right now and Yordan Alvarez. He leads all three Triple Crown categories in the American League. So never count the Astros out as well. And then the Tigers, I think, are the ultimate team. Like, sell or buy, they have to do something at the deadline here. So very curious to see how those three teams are going to kind of make the stretch. Because, you know, Boston's going to hit a tough spot here at some point. Gil Alexander had a piece out there on Twitter. He bet the Red Sox to win or to have the most wins for the month of July based on their schedule and the number of games they're playing. And man, oh man, when you're right, you're right. Have one, Gil. I love it there seeing that.
So, Jeff, it was not a great night for my team last night. Milwaukee managed just four hits in a loss. Ended up being a really nice outing for Zach Thornton of the New York Mets. But your Cincinnati Reds picked up a win. They beat that Mariners team 4-2. Chase Burns getting his 12th win of the season, now tied for the major league lead. You know, Cincinnati, they're 16.5 back in their own division, but another one of those teams that's still hanging around in the wild card, 5.5 back in the NL. What are you looking for out of the Reds as we get closer to the deadline?
Well, I think they'll probably be sellers at the deadline. And Chase Burns was great. Don't be surprised if we don't see much of him in September. Barring some miraculous run in the next 2 weeks, I don't see them being contenders this year. And I think that their whole entire goal is to get to be in the best possible position for 2027. That includes both Chase Burns. They might put some sort of governor switch on Hunter Green as well. I would do that. I think you got to make sure you're in that sort of situation there if you're running the team.
Well, plenty more baseball talk coming up later in the show. Ryan Spielborg's going to stop by in 15 minutes. We'll have Jeff's full card a little bit later. We're talking some fantasy football when we come back. Theo Greminger from RotoWire joining us next. You're watching Prop Points.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. It's Double Guest Wednesday here on Prop Points. We're heading out to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in Theo Greminger, RotoWire's lead NFL fantasy analyst, our content director, recent hire over at RotoWire. Very excited to have Theo on board for this fantasy football season. Make sure you check him out on the RotoWire YouTube channel, putting up awesome videos each and every day there. You can find those in podcast form as well. And if you're not following him already, make sure you check him out on Twitter, on X, at the OG Fantasy. Theo, really, really thrilled to have you on the show. Want to try to hit as much as we can over the next 10 minutes or so. Let's talk some wide receivers to start things off. I want to throw you a question about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Obviously had the official breakout last season, solidified himself as a truly elite wide receiver. Now you're paying the price, though. You're paying a much higher price than you were in 2025. How confident are you that JSN can repeat that level of production once again this year?
I think that level of production is sort of the operative word here. And you mentioned the ADP price correction. Last year, we're getting him sort of at the 2-3 turn when we got into like deep August, early September, and he ended up being a league winner at that price. Now you're having to pay wide receiver 3 overall numbers, which is really right around like the 105, the 106, and a lot of these high-stakes leagues. For me, I think people are overthinking JSN a little bit, where I think he's going to pretty much be offensive coordinator-proof. I think even with the switch over to Brian Fleury, you lose an elite play caller like Clint Kubiak, but JSN is still going to be heavily featured here. We all saw last year how dominant he was on like a target share, on a first read rate. The air yard share went way, way up. And I think that there's still room to run in the profile. If you want to push Amon-Ra St. Brown ahead of him, I think that's sort of the only guy that's going right below him that I would be in consideration for. I have him and Amon-Ra sort of neck and neck. For me, JSN, does he have league winner in this range? Does he have wide receiver 1 overall in the range of outcomes? I think he still does. And I think another factor that isn't really being looked at is, the switch to Jadarian Price, at least early on in the year, some of those targets to Seattle running backs, I think it's going to be way more run-centric, maybe a few more like opportunistic drop-offs to the running backs, more so than like less so than designing the offense around being so running back-centric. There's a chance Seattle could be more wide receiver focused this year, and I think JSN would obviously be the big beneficiary. So I'd say for me, I've taken him in a couple of these big high-stakes drafts, but I'm not reaching for him, but I'm okay taking him when he falls to like the 106, the 107 range. But again, if you want to push Amon-Ra, I get it, but I think JSN's kind of too big to fail at this point. He's an unbelievably good player.
Theo, finding a sharp that doesn't like Emeka Ogbuka is really difficult to do. I have his meteoric rise up the 80 parts has been breathtaking. I saw him go at 2.1 in one of the NFFC online championship drafts that I did. I know you're on board with this. Maybe not the 2.1, but I know you're on board with rising him. Where do you think he properly should go?
I think in a format like the NFFC, I think somewhere in that 2-3 turn area makes a lot of sense. He gives you a chance to really catch up at wide receiver if he takes that big step forward. I mean, we saw the end zone targets. We saw the target share. And we saw the amount of high-end production he had before he got injured last year, where he was averaging north of 20 points per game through the first 5 weeks of the season. Then we see sort of the attrition with Tampa Bay losing Mike Evans. And sort of that's what they drafted Emeka Ogbuka to be, is to eventually be the wide receiver one in this offense. They had two older wide receivers in Evans and Godwin on the roster when they selected Ogbuka in round one. And it really was sort of a 2027 thesis. He just happened to get off to a red hot start last year. So I think this year, him going and becoming a 150 target player, it's very much in the cards. And I would be shocked if he doesn't at least return some mid wide receiver two value where you're taking him. But I do think he has the ability to give you top six, top seven wide receiver overall numbers when it's all said and done. You oftentimes, like this time of year, we start gravitating towards like this year's version of. He's about as close to a this year's version of Jackson Smith and Jigba as we have with anyone on the board right now. So I am fully invested in the Emeka Ogbuka experience, but not at the 201. That's a little too spicy. And I think I know that's the drafter who's doing it. It's one of the better, most well-known NFFC high-stakes guys who drafts all the time. He's sort of been pushing him up. So that's probably not the drafter that we want to historically fade, Jeff. That guy's got a lot of receipts to prove it.
Exactly right.
Folks, the VSiN NFL betting guide is out now. Whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, rookie of the year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. Inside this year's guide, you'll find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and more. You can get your hands on it today with our football special for just $175. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport all the way through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Theo Greminger, RotoWire's lead NFL fantasy analyst, joining us via the Progressive guest line. Theo, I want to ask you about Ashton Jeanty. This is a player that I really, really want to succeed in the NFL. It was an up and down rookie year, of course, in a bad situation with the Las Vegas Raiders, but we're not getting a discount on Jeanty based on some of those struggles. Are you confident taking him at the end of round one? Are you confident saying that this will be a significantly better environment for him in Vegas in year two?
I mean, I think it has to be much better. I mean, we're talking about dead last in scoring last year as an offense for Vegas. And they hire an elite play caller in Clint Kubiak. They've also made some investments on the offensive line. They get Colton Miller back, who was really good last year, get him back from injury. And when it comes to Jeanty, I think one of the upside cases for him is just how good he could be as a receiver in this Clint Kubiak scheme, where we really are projecting the touches and the offense to be consolidated around Bowers and Jeanty. So even though the offense, maybe we have a little bit of concerns of, I think when it comes to Jeanty, the scheme is really going to boost him. Last year, we saw him sort of I would say exceed expectations as what we expected for him as a rookie in terms of the reception totals. I think with Clint Kubiak there, we could see him catch 70 balls. And I think that's the huge bull case for Genty, is just how efficient he can be as a runner with also his ability as a receiver. So he gives you that balanced approach that you get sort of at the end of round one, that maybe you only seem to find right now at the beginning of round one. He could end up being sort of a great equalizer pick with that unknown upside and your way to sort of combat the Christian McCaffrey, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson drafter if it all sort of comes to light for Genty. So we really believe in Clint Kubiak. I mean, I'm very bullish on the Kubiak scheme working for both of those two guys. And I think that we can look at a lot of the offensive line concerns. Seattle was pretty bad in 2024. They were, I believe, top five in most sacks allowed. And last year they were bottom five in that. So he completely flipped it in Seattle, Clint Kubiak did, with the offensive line. We're looking for that sort of offensive line improvements in Vegas this year. I think he's going to totally stabilize that unit, and that will help Genty as well. So I'm bullish on Ashton Genty, and we have to take some shots. We've got to be able to chase some unknown upside. And I think Genty, the level of prospect he was coming out, I think we were maybe a year too early on him. We're basically drafting him the exact same spot as we were last year. And we're able to get hit this sort of elite level talent at the very end of round one. So I think that he's a very fine pick for you right now in fantasy.
Theo, got about a minute left. Let's talk about yards per route run. I was listening to a podcast with you and Jacob Sanderson. You guys were talking about Zay Flowers, his meteoric rise in ADP. Now he's kind of a new flavor. Saw him go in the second round in some drafts. And I know, you know, his route yards per route run is one of the reasons cited for people liking him this year. Obviously we have a new offensive coordinator in Baltimore as well. What say you on Zay Flowers and his new draft price?
Yeah, I mean, I had this conversation with Mike Shope, who I've had on my show a number of times. He does the ADP chasing with Jacob, and Mike's a really sharp guy. But we were able to draft Zay Flowers a lot at like the end of round four when we were doing very, very early FFPC drafts. Then he sort of kept trending up and trending up and trending up. And now we're seeing him settling in right at wide receiver 15 in FFPC, very similar in NFFC. I think he's fine. He's going towards the a little bit higher in terms of ADP than maybe you'd want to see him if you're trying to get like a huge win. But everything's sort of pointing towards what could be a career year for him. You got the Declan Doyle offense, where the years of them being dead last in pass attempts, the Baltimore Ravens being dead last in pass attempts, I think with Doyle, there's a chance that it could be slightly more balanced. Maybe they have the 10th fewest pass attempts. That would be a huge major win for Zay Flowers. But for Zay Flowers, there's a ton of outs here where you have the positive touchdown regression, where he could end up scoring a career high in touchdowns. Then you've got the target total going up. So
Theo, we hate to cut you off, man, but we got to go to break. Theo Grebinger, everybody, at the OG Fantasy on Twitter. Check him out over at rotowire.com. This is Prop Points. We'll be right back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. We're hoping shortly to be connecting with our Ryan Spielborgs from MLB Network. Hopefully we'll be having him soon. Quick update. We got one live game, Pittsburgh and the Yankees. That is 0-0 in the second. That is, again, it's Mitch Keller up against Gerrit Cole. So revenge game for Gerrit Cole. But also coming up, we've got Red Sox and Orioles. That starts at 1:35, game one of the doubleheader. We got in that one, Jake Bennett is starting for the Red Sox, going up against Dean Kramer. There will be a doubleheader in that one. News from Orioles camp: Samuel Basayo is going to go on the IL with a shoulder injury there. He got hurt on Sunday, so keep an eye on that. They already have Adley Rutschman on the IL too, so they're down two good starting catchers. That's two fantasy catchers, Nick, that are wiped off the board as well. With no Will Smith also out, we're losing a lot of good catchers right now.
Yeah, I want to ask you about this O's team at large, Jeff. You know, last year they were, I think, right there among the most disappointing teams in baseball. I think we maybe leveled out our expectations a little bit heading into 2026, but this feels like kind of just another nothing year for the O's. Yeah, they're just kind of hanging around, about at 500. They're three games below right now. It doesn't really feel like they're a legitimate threat. But as always, because they play in the American League, they're still very much in the wild card mix. But how do you view this team upside wise? You know, we mentioned Seattle as maybe that obvious candidate that could play better over the final 60 odd games. But do you expect more out of the Baltimore Orioles? Like, what is the general direction of this team right now? I'm having a tough time figuring it out.
I think they're having a tough time figuring it out. They had a 7-game winning streak going into that loss on Monday. We do have our guest, Ryan Spielwerks, joining us from MLB Network Radio and SiriusXM and Rockies TV. You can follow him on Twitter at SpillyGoat19. Spilly, thank you so much for joining us. Let's talk a little Orioles. Your take on them heading into the trade deadline, you know, where is this as an organization right now?
I was hoping we'd talk about Orioles. That'd be really fun. Yeah. I think in general, there's a lot of teams, you guys, like as you look at the American League, it's because there's so many opportunities with the wild card, you know, division races that like a team like the Orioles are not out of it. I mean, last year we saw it with Cleveland. Cleveland, you know, was about to trade Stephen Kwan. I was in Cleveland as Kwan was saying goodbye. It was a series against the Rockies before the trade deadline, and he like waved goodbye to the fans because he thought he was gone. And it ended up being that the Guardians spun things around because we still have 2 months of baseball. So, you know, whatever your record is today, like take, for example, Boston. Boston 3 weeks ago, I would have told you, was trading away everybody. We saw them here in Colorado. They came here and they were not a good team. And then they just racked off 14 games in a row, kind of out of nowhere. Out of all the teams that, you know, you could have picked to go on a run, the Red Sox, from an offensive standpoint, would have been dead last for you to pick and say, oh, yeah, these guys are going to rip off 14 in a row. They were pitching well. And so, you know, Baltimore has been playing better. And, you know, you just kind of hope that if the league is showing you anything, sometimes holding pat and just giving yourself time is the best thing to do.
Talk with Ryan Spielwerks, former MLB outfielder, analyst over at MLB Network Radio and Rockies TV. Ryan, I want to ask you about another team, kind of big picture-wise. What do you make of the Washington Nationals, who are playing in Colorado again tonight? First in the majors in runs scored. They've been one of the most fun teams to watch all year long, but they've allowed the third most runs. They've been hanging around 500 basically the entire year. Do you take this Nationals team seriously as a potential wildcard team in the NL?
That's a good question. I mean, I really like watching them play. They have fun young players. You know, James Wood, a couple of years ago, I was like, hey, I haven't seen a player with skill set like this, you know, where, I mean, I could picture him winning an MVP. And this was years ago. And even as we headed into this year, you know, one of my bold predictions is James Wood is going to win an MVP. I'm not far off. I mean, this guy is really, really special. And what CJ Abrams has done, you know, part of it is growing up. I think from the last couple of years, Franklin Gutierrez or Ricky Gutierrez really helped out. Now you have this new coaching staff that is working with them even more. But yeah, I mean, when it comes down to the pitching is where they're needing. And certainly at the back end of the bullpen, they can add. Bullpens are the easiest things in Major League Baseball to fix. Like, it's the cheapest cost of acquisition. It is, you can find swing and miss. You can bring guys from the minor leagues that have stuff. Bullpens are the biggest thing that you can fix. And the problem with the Nationals this year has been the bullpen. I mean, you look at everything else, it's all bullpen. So just adding some arms, I don't think is going to cost this group an arm and a leg. And it certainly will give this group a chance to, at least from a mental standpoint, feeling like they have a shot and that their front office believes in them too.
Speaking of the trade deadline, you know, I think a lot of people are speculating on Tarik Skubal. He's the only big name I've heard a lot about, though, because as you alluded to earlier, especially in the American League, but in both leagues, there's really tight wildcard races. There's not too many teams that are truly out of it and have a player that's, you know, going to be highly coveted. Like, do you see any other big names floated?
I mean, Scooble's the obvious one, and I'm not sold that the Tigers are going to sell on Scooble. You know, they've turned it around. I would say it was Boston 3 weeks ago. Sonny Gray would have been probably one of the top candidates, and they've spun it around. Like, there'll be pitchforks in Boston if Craig Breslow trades away Sonny Gray. So, you know, I think there's pieces. Joe Ryan makes sense. Freddie Peralta makes sense. Minnesota's still in a spot, though, where they've surprised a lot of people. The problem that you have is you're either a buyer or a seller. You can't be both. Mm-hmm. And not in the short term. Like, you can sell off pieces to get some future. But, you know, like, from that standpoint, if you're Minnesota and you trade off Joe Ryan, you're not getting better. You're getting worse. So no matter what you do, you're getting worse when you're trading away an arm. And a lot of these teams have to decide, like, am I a buyer or a seller, or do I hold pat? And I think, to be honest, I think this trade deadline might actually be like a trade deadline, just because there's so many teams that are going to stand pat and say, you know what, I like our shot to keep these players with us for as long as we can. And Detroit specifically, because if this is your last chance with Tarek Skubal and you're not going to sign him long-term to a free agent contract, I think it'd be a miss not to trade him. But at the same time, I totally understand it to give them a chance to get to the postseason. Because if you trade away Skubal and Mize, you're done. I mean, you're not getting to the postseason this year. You're not getting better trading away your top pitching pieces.
Well, Ryan, one of the teams linked to Tarek Skubal has been the Milwaukee Brewers. And look, we know how last season ended. It's feeling eerily similar, where the Brewers are having a great regular season. There's just that specter of the LA Dodgers looming in the postseason. If you were Milwaukee, would you make a play for Tarek Skubal? Would you be willing to dip into that deep well of top prospects? Or do you think the Brewers have enough as is?
Well, 2008, they traded for CC Sabathia. I was actually in that game. I played the very first game for the Brewers. It was against the Rockies with Sabathia, and that place went nuts. As far as Tarek Skubal and whether the Brewers are willing to trade, I've had that conversation with Matt Arnold. You know, he's got a lot of players in his minor league system. They're really proud of it. If you look at what the Brewers have done from a depth piece, I mean, they have basically 10 starters that could be starters on other rotation that have less than 2 years of service time. So, you know, it's going to be hard for the Brewers to make that trade. You know, for the Tigers, like, if you're going to trade away Skubal, you better get a return that you like. And that's probably, you're probably asking for Cooper Pratt. You might be asking for this Luis Lara kid that they signed to a multi-year contract. He's just we've seen like a little taste. You got to make it hurt from the Brewers' standpoint, and I don't know if the Brewers are willing to do that. I think there's other pieces the Brewers can add. Would I like them to? Heck yeah. I think the Brewers, with this team and adding Skubal with the Miz, who's already, you know, the last start he had was only 4 innings. You saw Kyle Harrison was getting banged up. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Brewers should make a big move, but I don't think they have the tolerance for it.
Got about 30 seconds left, Spilly. About the Miz and them limiting his innings in his last start, saying he's not starting this weekend against the Rockies. How would you handle him down the stretch?
I mean, you just got to be aware. I mean, you need him. So whatever he tells you, you got to listen to him far more than listening to just like random people talk about it.
Good point. I think you're absolutely right about that. All right, Spilly, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for having me in the past on your show over on MLB Network Radio, and hopefully we can have this conversation again sometime soon.
That'd be great. Thanks for having me on.
Ryan Spielberg's, everybody. Coming up next on Prop Points, we will get you updates on the Pittsburgh Yankees game, the Baltimore-Boston game as well as our picks for the day. All coming up next here on VSiN Live. This is Prop Points. We'll be right back.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points here on the Sports Betting Network. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson, hanging out with you until the top of the hour. Got a couple live games in Major League Baseball as we speak, couple 0-0 games. We are just about to head to the top of the fourth between the Pirates and the Yankees. Just one hit on the board thus far that belongs to New York, but 0-0 again, head to the top of the fourth. And we are underway between the O's and the Red Sox. They were rained out last night, so first game of a doubleheader. 0-0 in the bottom of the first, but no outs, two on for the Boston Red Sox. We'll let you know if anything comes of that. Before we get to Jeff Erickson's Major League Baseball card, folks, the Circus Survivor documentary is back for another season, and this one is bigger than ever. 7 all-new episodes kick off every Wednesday starting tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Episode 1 will take you inside the growth of the most electrifying contest in sports betting, now with $18.7 million on the line, and the massive new Grandissimo format raising the stakes even higher. Follow the sharp minds and bold personalities who think they've got what it takes to go the distance. Whether you play Circus Survivor yourself or you just love the drama of a season-long grind, this is going to be must-watch TV. Check it out again every Wednesday starting tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN. Jeff, let's get some plays on the card for the Wednesday baseball slate, and we'll go to a game that starts up about 25 minutes from now. That is Mets-Brewers at Miller Park. Christian Scott, Logan Henderson is your pitching matchup. Totals down at 7.5. Brewers minus 162 favorites on the money line.
Yeah, and big note here. Juan Soto, not in the starting lineup today, nor is Luis Robert, who's freshly off the IL. The Mets are going to be doing a lot of mixing and matching. They're trying to highlight certain guys ahead of the trade deadline, including Robert. Brett Beatty is getting a start in the outfield for this afternoon's game as well. I want to focus on the young pitching in this one here. I like both young pitchers, both Christian Scott and Logan Henderson. Both have made some nice strides. Logan Henderson has a near 30% K percentage. He's only had 4 strikeouts in each of his first 2 starts, but he's gone 5 and 5 1/3 innings in each of those, kind of working his way back. Had some big strikeout rates before. The fact that there's no Soto in the lineup, though, that kind of pushes me in the right direction here. I also like Christian Scott. Really started to show some movement ahead here, including a good start against the Phillies in his first start after the break. So I like the under in this game, and it's at 7.5. And the best price I saw was at minus 110 over at Hard Rock. Give me the Logan Henderson over 5.5 Ks for the strikeout prop, minus 120 over at Circa.
Got the Cincinnati Reds still out west taking on the Mariners this afternoon, 3:40 p.m. Eastern start. Seattle minus 157 on the money line. Total sitting at 8 for Brady Singer taking on Emerson Hancock.
Yeah, Brady Singer, that was one we got wrong on Friday. I thought he'd get torched by the Rockies. He was not. He somehow did very well against him. And he's probably a guy that's getting showcased here at the trade deadline. You know, we're always looking for the big name pitchers that go, but a lot of times it's the next tier down. Brady Singer is available. The Reds will trade him if they, you know, it's not going to take a whole lot to get him either. That, you know, and he's got a 6.14 road ERA. I do not trust him on the road at all. The Mariners got Julio Rodriguez back. He had a pinch hit in the game yesterday, had a hard ground out. Ellie De La Cruz made an incredible play to have a fielder's choice on that play. And then he homered in this next at bat. So Julio Rodriguez is back, should be back in the lineup today against Singer. I like the J-Rod over 1.5 hits plus runs plus RBI, minus 120 over at DraftKings.
We have a couple runs on the board for the Boston Red Sox. They loaded the bases in the bottom of the first. Caleb Durbin with a 2 RBI single. So now 2 on still and 1 out for the Boston Red Sox, leading the O's 2-0. Again, first game of the doubleheader. Jeff, let's head out to Philadelphia where we get Dodgers-Phillies, Eric Lauer, Aaron Nola. This is a pitching matchup. I assume you'll have some thoughts on Aaron Nola. Dodgers won last night, coupled with that Brewers loss. They are now back in possession of the best record in baseball.
They are. And, you know, it's interesting how poorly the Phillies played last night. There was a weird double up where they just really some terrible base running on that one there. The Phillies do struggle against left-handed pitching. Justin Robleski is a better pitcher than Eric Lauer. Lauer is, if you look at all the stuff plus metrics out there, he doesn't rate very well at all. So that said, I like the Dodgers vis-a-vis the Phillies, generally speaking. I like him against Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola, 6.50 ERA at home, 1.69 whip. I wanted to bet the total home run prop in this game to go against both pitchers. But it was at 2.5, and it was minus 180 over at DraftKings. I can't bet anything minus 180. I'm sure I could bet something in life at minus 180, but not that. I won't do that, but I do like the line. I just don't like the price on that one there. Instead, I'm just going to go with a discounted money line. I think the Dodgers should be bigger favorites than the minus 117 that you can find over at Circa.
Let's head over to Twins Guardians in Cleveland. It's Bailey Ober, Slade Ciccioni on the hill, and you have a total bases prop for us, Jeff.
I do. Slade Ciccioni had a really good month of June, but it was kind of a bit of a mirage based on some shaky opponents. I just don't think he's that good of a pitcher. Got hit really hard by the White Sox on July 2nd. Faced the Twins in his last start out. Only went 3 2/3, gave up 3 earned runs on 6 hits and a walk. I like Cody Clemens, who did have a couple of nice plays against a couple of hits against Ciccioni earlier. Cody Clemens is having a really nice season. I don't think everybody's aware of that. You know, I pounded the drum for this Twins offense, how they lead the American League in runs scored. 18 homers, 48 RBI, 47 runs scored, and 6 stolen bases for Clemens this year. I like the Cody Clemens over 1.5 total bases. You get it at plus 140 over at DraftKings.
Rays Blue Jays in the AL East. Rays pulling out to a 12-2 win last night. We get Griffin Jacks versus Spencer Miles tonight, Jeff. And starting to feel like this season might be getting away from the Blue Jays. I think firmly in that conversation of, you know, because it's the AL, it becomes a little bit more of a difficult decision. But how many more losses away are we from talking about Toronto as a true seller?
One or two, probably. I think they're there. I do the Tuesday RotoWire Fantasy Baseball podcast with Fred Zinke, based out of Toronto. He watches every Jays game, and he's so down on them. Really wants them to be sellers at the trade deadline. But the problem is they don't have a whole lot of inventory to sell. The Jays are last in baseball in runs scored, 400 runs scored so far after a couple of really bad games against the Rays to start this week. Not so fun fact, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., slugging 294, not batting, but slugging 294 at home, 0 home runs at Rogers Center this year. Just awful. Griffin Jacks got smoked by the Red Sox in his last time out, but overall, his conversion to starting has gone well. I think he does well against the Jays today. I like the over on Griffin Jacks outs recorded. It's over 15.5, plus 115 over at DraftKings.
Let's take a look at the nightcap between the O's and the Red Sox. Red Sox, by the way, up 4-0 now, still in the bottom of the first, two outs for Boston. We had a Jaron Duran triple that played in 2 more runs. So again, 4-0 Red Sox, still in the first inning. But later tonight, Jeff, we expect to see Kyle Bradish taking on Ranger Suarez.
Yep, and this is half of the matchup we expected to see yesterday. It's going to be Kyle Bradish versus an opener, but the extra day off gets Suarez the opportunity to come off the IL. The Orioles are going to be without 2 catchers, without Adley Rutschman, without Samuel Basayo. Mentioned that at the top of the show. You know, some pretty key losses there for them. One guy to keep an eye on, though, that might be a positive for the Orioles is Kobe Mayo, who is starting to do a little bit better over at third base, starting to hit a little bit better overall. He's slugging 722 against lefties. Not OPS, but slugging 722 against lefties. So I like the Kobe Mayo over 1.5 total bases. You get that at plus 150 over at FanDuel.
Before we get to our best bets of the night, Jeff, anything for you in Marlins Astros tonight down in Houston? Sandy Alcantara on the hill for Miami.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see what the Marlins are going to do at the trade deadline. You know, early on, the whole idea was, okay, they signed Peter Fairbanks so they can trade him. Unfortunately, Fairbanks has an airline ERA in the 700s or in the sevens. Alcantara was one of the other guys, Sandy Alcantara, tonight's starter. Whether or not he would be traded at the deadline. And, you know, the Marlins were brilliant in June, but they've now lost 8 in a row. So I'm really curious to see what happens with Sandy Alcantara. I'm kind of digging in on him to see if, like, maybe we can go with another outs recorded a prop with him just because of how good he is. He leads baseball in innings pitched so far this year. I think he might be a guy that we can take a look at as someone. I think he's good for, you know, at least another 6 innings in this one. Anything, you know, any outs recorded prop over 18.5, I think I'd go with it.
Time for our best bets of the night. Jeff, I'm going to add another NBA win total, but first of all, I want to know what you have in baseball.
I'm going to go with your locality. I'm going to go with the under in that Brewers-Mets game, under 7.5, minus 110. Don't really have an opinion on the side. I think both pitchers are really good.
I'm throwing the Dallas Mavericks over 34.5 wins into my portfolio that continues to grow of early NBA win totals. I don't like it quite as much as I do the Bulls at 24.5, but I think this is a team. Getting Kyrie Irving back solves a ton for this roster. I like some of the depth adds they made. I like the Merez Johnson pick. Expect another leap out of Cooper Flagg. I think the Mavs, to me, a little bit closer to Portland, Phoenix, even Golden State, teams like that in the West. I think they could be a play-in team as soon as next season. That's going to wrap the Wednesday edition of Prop Points, but don't go anywhere. Money Moves, Stormy JVT coming your way next here on VSiN.